The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
We are Rover Sports, and essentially we are here with Dr. Stephen Lewis, Josh Dacey, Matthew Vito, Kyle Newby, and Spencer Grossinger. The coach, the other coach, is coming in from a very rain-filled Lancaster. I'd like to start off by welcoming everybody here on Jacob Media Sports, and also talking about the layout of our show. So basically, we're going to have a brief introduction, and we're going to talk about the Eagles game. We're going to have two breaks tonight. We're going to have a break in 5 minutes, and we're just going to have a top-of-the-hour break where we are going to do a sponsored station ID. But the most important thing we're going to do is to be all talk tonight. We have eliminated the music because the YouTube dictators basically didn't want us having any music. And if we really need music, we're just going to sing a cappella. But, Steve, I watched the game last night, and I came away with a lot of feelings about it. Number one, I couldn't believe the Eagles actually won the game in the rain, similar weather we have tonight in Kansas City. And I'll quote Seth Joyner, then we'll roll into our discussion. Seth Joyner said that if they played the exact same type of game six times, the Eagles would have won exactly one of the six. But last night was that particular game where the Eagles won. And many of us are still in disbelief that they did win. Dr. Lewis, some of your thoughts, broad strokes here.
Boy, Seth sounds like Herb Brooks from USA hockey team, that they would have won only that one game. Last night's game was the most watched Monday Night Football game in the last 25 years. I don't know if you knew that.
No, so I didn't
everybody
hear that
was
at all.
Everybody was watching that game. And, you know, look, a win is a win is a win. And they did not look pretty at all out there. They were very fortunate that Kansas City had a tremendous amount of drop balls from a couple touchdowns. I mean, it was crazy what was going on. And poor Pat Mahomes just was absolutely flabbergasted. Even Travis Kelce, the short-fired Travis Kelce that catches everything, just was dropping things. So the Eagles were very lucky. But, you know, at the end of the day, and it was not a good game from Jalen Hurts. It may have been his worst game of his career. I mean, he just looked terrible out there. He underthrew a ball that was an interception to AJ, and then he underthrew the ball to Devontae that if he had thrown it better, it would have been a touchdown. They ended up getting a touchdown. But nonetheless, who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? They won the game. They're 9-1. They have the best record in the NFL. And every time they've done this, that they've started out this good, they've been in the NFC Championship game. And we expect the same. So Vegas, here we come.
We are Rover Sports. We have Coach Josh Dacey, who's coached many different sports, certainly college basketball at two large D1 places, also a lot of football. I know that, like, everybody, like you said, across the nation, it was the most game. I'd say across Philadelphia, I saw a lot of patients today in the office. I don't think I saw one person who didn't see the game, even casual fans. A lot to unpack from the game last night. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought the play calling was pretty mediocre and actually bad. It was bad.
It was bad.
It was absolutely bad. They couldn't get into any rhythm. What was great was, Doc, they found a way to win. Great teams find ways to win. And they made adjustments at halftime. It was quite clear. The offensive line was all over the map. They weren't getting the right calls in. Steve Spagnuolo, who's the defensive coordinator for Kansas City, he did a great job mixing things up. And the offensive line, you know, in bad weather, it was tough for them to see it. And they made those adjustments. I was listening to Landon Dickerson on the way in, and he said, we had to make the adjustments. We all messed up, but we played really hard, you know. And good teams and good culture find ways to win. When you have seasoned leadership like this, that's won big games before, this is what happens. This is why they win. This is why
I thought it was an entertaining game to watch. And we have Charlie Bowles on the line. So, Charlie, You're definitely a national guy. I'd say the most dispassionate, independent of our hosts on Rover Sports. So I guess it's a two-part question. One is, did you find the game entertaining? Number two, what are your takeaways from the game?
A couple of things. One, I think I said it last week on the air, there is no way Travis Kelce's play could have diminished that fast. He's obviously extremely distracted. You know, he's flying down to Columbia or wherever a week ago. He's not as committed, obviously. He's caught up in the limelight. I guess many of us would be, too. His mother's even saying he reached for the stars, not about his football, about his girlfriend. I think he's obviously distracted. That's a big factor. That Kansas City has, obviously, everyone knows this. Nobody can catch the ball besides him. On another note, I think Philly last night looked like they were calling plays. They weren't really running an offense. They were pretty much going play to play. When most teams kind of have an offense, you know, set pregame, I think they were just kind of, you know, winging it. Overall, though, look at the play in the NFL. It's terrible overall. I think, honestly, I step away this from a non-Eagle fan as saying, wow, that's a pretty good win. Maybe their best win of the season. Maybe they didn't play the best. But it's a really good win, and they've established themselves. Who cares how they win? They have a better record than everybody. And coming from a non-Eagle fan, I was actually encouraged.
Charlie, I one comment. You know, this was – a lot of people said this wasn't a critical game or a must-win game for Philadelphia. I disagree. This, to me, was a psychological – unbelievably critical game that they had to go into Kansas City, a Super Bowl rematch, a team that they believe that they won that Super Bowl and just gave it away, and they had to win this game. They have never beaten Andy Reid since he was fired from Philadelphia, and winning this game from a psychological standpoint, doesn't matter how they won, that they won this game, they now know they could beat anybody in football, and they did it on the road in Arrowhead in unbelievably tough conditions, weather-wise, fan-wise, every way you can look at it. This was a critical win for this team, in my opinion.
They're 9-1.
I totally agree, and we'll get to the picks later. But I think that leads all into what happens this week.
Yeah, Charlie, they're nine and one. I mean, and again, it goes back to experience and leadership. When you have Jason Kelce, they should just try to keep him around for another year while they have this run going. Offensively and defensively, they made adjustments, and it was great. They always love to show the sideline shots where players are getting into it. I love it. That's passion. That's going to happen throughout the course of a game and throughout the course of a season. And teams adapt. And they did that tonight.
We are going to go into a quick break. And we'll be back. We're Rover Sports. We're moving quickly on a Thanksgiving Day week.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome back into Rover Sports, our second segment. As you can see, many of you, we have multiple camera spots. We are on Jacob Media. We want to thank Joe Krause, Andrew Krause, especially on this Thanksgiving week, for actually putting our show up, which is now Wednesday, and getting it in before Thanksgiving and the long weekend and Black Friday and all that stuff, because there are so many great shows on Jacob Media. And we're really glad. We want to thank Matthew Vito for setting up a great, great lights and sound stage here. And Charlie, I'm going to mention that your words were almost verbatim Seth Joyner's words. And he said it in a way that was in a frustrating way. I think he's generally more passionate about the Eagles. I think he really is, having been a former Eagle, played for 8 years. And what he was saying, he was talking about Brian Johnson, Nick Sirianni. He said almost the same words. He said, when you set an offense up, when you're a professional team, you're basically setting up certain plays and you're trying to spin off certain plays. So you're setting up formations. You're going to run from those formations. You're going to do play action. And it's going to be very thought out. It's not going to be just random plays. But what Seth was saying is it looked like they were just bringing out random plays. There was no thought to it. The thing that was driving people mad were those outside bubble screens to DeAndre Swift. They were really slow, poorly set up plays, and on more than a few plays. There were two plays where Jalen Hurts actually ran into the running back. It looked like they were an elementary school team. And especially the plays were not being responsive to what the defense was calling. So that's why being able to sit really between Mark Frazetta and Seth Joyner, it'd just be a fly in the room. I learned anytime I watch, you know, even the way the linemen set up with their feet and their hips, Seth Joyner just was going nuts. Like Josh Sweat yesterday had, he graded out to the one of the worst games ever by a defensive lineman. And a lot of it had to do with just the way he was set up with his feet. His feet were always set up the wrong direction. And if you noticed, the Chiefs were able to force him outside really easily. And the run came inside by Pacheco. He just was able to run straight in. And likewise, you always saw Josh Sweat, like even on an obvious running play, like a 3rd and 2, he was just rushing the quarterback. He was going outside. He was removing himself from the play. And they were nudging him aside. And there was just the Chiefs ran for 125 yards in the first half. And a lot had to do with Josh Sweat. And he had one great play, you know, great play that was a game changer was when he had that hurry. And it was Mahomes, it was obvious intentional grounding. And it became a 4th and 25 play. It became a guy, only one guy in the world could have possibly made that. And we all, of course, in unison, talked about Freddie Mitchell. So some of the play and some of the play calling was eye scratching or head scratching or I guess every organ scratching. Steve, your thoughts on that?
I mean, listen, Josh Sweat had a bad game. I wouldn't call it the worst game in of any defensive lineman, but I agree with you. I mean, you're talking about very experienced coordinators and Andy Reid and his play calling and Spagnuolo and his. I agree with Seth and with Herb Brooks. If they played this game 10 times, they would win just last night. What I'm afraid of is that what Spagnuolo called and what other teams are doing now to make Jalen Hurts ineffective as a runner is filling the gaps and stopping his abilities and what he's good doing. So they definitely, the offense was abysmal. I mean, the calls, the bubble screens, they were just, I don't know what they were looking at. I don't know what they were doing. They have to make an immediate change with that. There's absolutely no question. While they won the game, they're 9-1. Our job at Rover Sports is to dissect it and pick it apart and see what they can do better. But I agree with Charlie. There's no dominant teams in the NFL. I mean, the play is just terrible.
It really is across the board. I mean, and it goes back to the quarterback play as well. I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers looks like he's actually coming back and going to be playing in December for the New York Jets. Like he's practicing. They said he's going to be practicing next week. Charlie, you're talking about one quarterback everyone's talking about right now, C.J. Stroud. He's a rookie, but everybody else across the board, you can pick every division, and they all have deficiencies in every.
They're all going. Josh Allen going backward. Everyone's just going backwards.
So, Charlie, you watch a lot of football. As far as this year with quarterback play. And also, I would say with quarterback injuries, there's been as many injuries as I can remember. Joe Burrow going out with, I'm pretty sure, is a TFCC tear. Just looking where he was holding the ulnar part of his wrist and knowing that that's the worst wrist tear you could have, more like the Liz Frank ligament, you know, that unfortunately Dakobe Dean's going through. So when you hear Liz Frank, when you hear TFCC as a doctor, you always think that that's bad. And Burrow, you know, literally couldn't hold on to a football. And because there is an ulnar nerve, you know, a nerve in the wrist called the ulnar nerve. And I believe that when he tore his TFCC, it also affected the fact he couldn't grip a ball. So Burrow's going for surgery. And in the NFL, they don't really tell you exactly, like, what ligament's torn. We don't know, ironically, Josh. We don't know what the MRI of Jalen Hurts' knee looks like, his left knee. We could presume that there was a bone bruise. I'm sure they're MRIing it. You know, it's a magnet. It's not like he's getting radiated. But I think we could be clear that there's a lot of inflammation in the left knee. He did wear a brace last night. So a lot of people were using the fact that Jalen Hurts did not practice with the brace as evidence that he was getting better. Just looking at him from a sports doctor standpoint, Dr. Lewis, and looking at his left knee, looking at his mobility, I was watching the first half, and I was kind of torn between thinking that Obviously, Kansas City had a great scheme. They rushed particularly number 22. The slot corners are getting McDuffie, and he is tremendous. And what they were doing, they were overloading the side of Lane Johnson. They had Chris Jones and they had McDuffie both simultaneously rushing Hurts, and in Lane Johnson, who is a Hall of Famer, was flummoxed by that. But also, you know, watching with Mark Forzetta, like who was at my left and Seth to the right, Forzetta, you know, with his eyes, he believed that watching even the way that Hurts was moving laterally in the pocket, he saw a different quarterback than he saw last year. What did you think about watching him? I'm sure carefully trying to assess whether Hurts was compromised, and if so, how so?
You know, it's a good point that he wasn't practicing with a brace, and then playing with a brace is a different feel. There's no doubt. I don't know the rationale behind that, but I don't know that that was the limiting factor. I just think that the defensive schemes that they were throwing at Philadelphia was different than what they've seen before. And the offensive line is fractured. It's not the same offensive line as last year. There are injuries, and like I said, I think Lane's trying to do too much out there, but he definitely was overwhelmed yesterday. It was not a Lane Johnson performance, no doubt.
We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick station break. We are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
We are back at Rover Sports. We're at the top of the hour. We are 8 o'clock, and this is Thanksgiving week. So I want to make sure that we thank everybody. We give thanks to WWDB, to everybody, from Sam Spicer to Lori Lewis, to Kyle Newby, who comes out, and Matthew Vito. As you can see, every week, our lighting gets better, our sound gets better, and because of the hard work of Matthew Vito and the editing, and I've been assured that tomorrow, or I say tomorrow, I'm not supposed to time lock our show, but I will say some nebulous time this week before Thanksgiving, might be a Wednesday, our show will actually be up, and you'll be able to see the fine crafted work without musical interruption, without copyright violations, without a rock group called The Who, which actually gave us permission to use their song, Give Blood. And I don't think I'll be canceled for using the title of the song. But ironically, YouTube is a big monolithic entity that apparently cancels people very easily. And as we do this, we bring Spencer Grosser in from Twin Valley. We're going to let him get set up. But there was an interesting commentary last night by John McMullen, and a question by Kayla Santiago was, you know, we saw how bad the offense was in the first half. Could you blame Brian Johnson for this seemingly random scheme?
Yes.
And interestingly, John McMullen said no.
No.
So John said no. He said, if you look at it, this is the Nick Sirianni offense.
No, it's
almost put an extra O on his name. And essentially, the job of Brian Johnson is to implement and call the plays just because the head coach has a lot of things. It's not like Andy Reid, who is just consummate play caller, and that even in years past, that this is Sirianni. And if you're going to blame anybody, you blame Nick and he'll take the credit for it. As far as Sean Desai is concerned, they blanked the Kansas City Chiefs. And there are a lot of weird statistics that came out. So the Kansas City Chiefs are a great team. But one stat that surprised me was that in the last three games, the Kansas City Chiefs scored exactly no points in the second half. No points at all. Not only yesterday, but Patrick Mahomes and Jason Kelce in that team, Pacheco and Andy Reid, the genius that he is, the Super Bowl champs, scored no points in the second half of the last three games.
Well, they had fumbles last night and a lot of missed opportunities.
So there's obviously going to be a lot going into it. Charlie, what do you make of that? Do you think that, I guess it's a point-blank question, do you think the Chiefs will make it back to the Super Bowl, or are you not sure for the AFC? Go ahead.
From what I saw last night, I just don't think the receivers are just not bad. They're really bad. They're epically bad. They're like four string bad. And if Kelce doesn't screw his head on, again, I can't see it getting better. The circus around him is going to get bigger. And I don't think these receivers, they've all been in the league a couple of years. They're not getting any better. So, honestly, their defense is much better, but I don't. I think their offense is compromised.
Charlie, who would you say is the favorite in the AFC then in your eyes?
I don't think there is a favorite right now. I think you got to wait another 2 weeks to see who's kind of peaking. I guess if you're asking right now, Baltimore, although, again, I'm not a Lamar Jackson guy.
Exactly. I was trying to get you because you said Lamar would never win a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he will. I don't think he'll ever win a Super Bowl. I said that the day he was drafted. I said that about Kyler Murray the day he was drafted. I stand by it. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it. But right now, as good as San Diego is, their coach kills them. He should have been fired Monday. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's up to – I'm curious to hear the panel's thought on that.
Well, Bruce, I think that the Dolphins as the 3 seed with Tua, if he could stay healthy, I mean, I think that they have a pretty good opportunity. But the Chiefs aren't out of it. The Chiefs can still get better. It's still the middle of the season.
They still have the best one line that was said yesterday that, again, John McMullen, they have the best player in the universe. They do have Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think anybody could argue, in my view, best player in the league. Could you argue that?
The problem is it takes two to tango. Yeah. It's not basketball. So if no one can actually haul in a pass.
And Spencer's right. I mean, football is 11 players on offense and 11 on D. You can have the best player in the world, and it means nothing. This was such an important game for Kansas City. I mean, it really was. They now are no longer the number one seed, and they're bunched in this group of four.
Definitely a group of four. This unfortunately was – the fact that Burrow is out, you know, we could cross Burrow off the list. We're going to find out more about Buffalo. And again, Buffalo is in a similar situation that the Eagles were in. They're coming away to a hostile crowd. And I think that the Eagles are not going to look past them like they looked past the Jets.
Yeah.
They're just not going to look past the Bills. And they are going to be wearing Kelly Green. It's going to be really fun. This could be raucous. And just the way – I think the Eagles are really up for that Dolphins game. And frankly, they're when they play at the Link, they play well. You don't see a lot of letdowns. You don't see trap games really at home, Josh. I don't see this a trap game.
No, it's not a trap game. But, I mean, also, Buffalo looked really good. Their defense, they played the Jets, but they looked really good against the Jets. Several sacks, forced turnovers, they locked the receivers down. And Buffalo is a good team. They come in and play like they played against the Jets. The Eagles could be up for a game.
I agree, Josh.
So, Spence, I'm going to throw it back to you. You didn't answer the question.
What?
Who is your favorite? I know you threw it to Charlie. Who's your favorite in the AFC to go to the Super Bowl? Who do you think?
I think Buffalo. I think Buffalo's going to get it together, and as a wild card, they're really dangerous.
Why? Do they have a running game? Tell us about it. I know we're using it to preview the Bills a little bit. But tell us, do they have a running game in Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, they have the guy that, you know, was terrible in Carolina in Joe Brady. That was also a Penn State guy. He was up at Penn State with Joe Moorhead, and then he was with Joe Burrow at LSU, and people fought him as the boy wonder, and he's now getting another shot because Ken Dorsey, they just fired their offensive coordinator. But James Cook, the brother of Dalvin, is a good running back. Dalton Kincaid from Utah is a talented, talented rookie. One of already the best pass-catching tight ends in the whole league. You have Stephon Diggs, who's a veteran, Gabe Davis, and Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen has won tons of AFC East championships. He's a seasoned vet in his prime.
It was gone backwards. He's regressed.
I don't know about that. I think that he's going to finish. You think that he's gone backwards this year,
yeah,
Steve?
I do. I think he's gone backwards. I had Buffalo doing much better. I think Sean McDermott's on the hot seat. And I know Charlie, you know, if you're asking me, I know Charlie doesn't love Lamar, but you got to love John Harbaugh. And his coaching is just elite. And to me, Baltimore is a favorite. And you can't forget about our old friend Doug Peterson.
Steve,
I was going to say that. Nobody said Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville is certainly. Wouldn't that be nice? I would love to see our old friend Doug Peterson and Jacksonville get in there.
Josh, sure. Do you really think that Josh Allen is is not like a top five talent at
quarterback. He's a top five talent. I didn't say that.
You just said he regressed.
He regressed, but he's still a top five talent, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's why you should have confidence in Josh Allen.
Well, I guess there's one stat that Josh Allen threw interceptions in the last eight games. So that's something that's startling. And also the converse of that.
Who cares? Peyton Manning and Favre threw.
No, but he's turning the ball over at an alarming rate.
But
he's
really making bad decisions. A very interesting stat is that Jalen Hurts has won 23 games against teams with winning records. And Spence, you heard that. I think many of you watched the telecast yesterday. There are two other quarterbacks in history who won 23 games to start their careers. One of them is an easy one, an obvious Hall of Famer, Peyton Manning. The other one is shockingly interesting. You could
say it.
Vinny Testaverde. When I heard that stat, I was baffled by it, much like I was baffled when I heard the Chiefs didn't score a point their last three games. I don't care. I know you're throwing against Valdez-Scanlon and Watson, and looking at their wide receivers are really bad. Now, Watson, of course, that first was a really good that jump pass. I think my cat could have caught that ball. That was just a great scheme and a great pass, and that's what you expect from Patrick Mahomes when you see him, you know, throwing from every possible arm angle.
But Spencer, with regards to Josh Allen, you don't get to say who cares with him that he's turning the ball over at an alarming rate. I mean, you could say it for Jalen Hurts; he's 9-1. Josh Allen's 6-5. So somebody has to care. I mean, you don't get. It's not a fair.
But Josh Allen is a winner.
He's 6-5. He's 6-5. Well, so he's regressing. That's my point.
I'm talking about the last 3 years of his career. He's taken his team deep into the playoffs every year.
My statement was he's regressed. So he's taken deep, and he's been great, and now he's 6-5 and turning the ball over. You can't say who cares. You can say Jalen Hurts.
Well, you have to look. You have to look deeper. They don't have a running game at all. Their running game is one of the worst in the NFL, so he has to really do the heavy lifting there in Buffalo, Josh Allen.
I think they do have the
competition that he's playing. I mean, he's playing in a very tough conference. He's playing in
Jalen Hurts.
You get the Jets, and then you got the Patriots. They're terrible.
Come on.
You don't think the Jets have a good defense?
They have a good defense, but they're off. They're
the only team that beat Philadelphia.
They destroyed the Jets
because of their defense.
Well, we are going to switch gears. To go to a part that, like, this is flying by. And actually, not having the music, we have more time for talk today. So we are talking fast. And again, we're so paranoid about copyright violations that I'm going to actually check. I think our lead-in music that we usually do, and again, but Kyle's been perfect.
Can we sing? We can sing.
We can sing. Yes, we've got a great echo chamber here. But let's go right into the fearless picks of the week. Firstly, How did we do last week as individuals?
Well, Doc, you went 3-1-2. We had two ties, which is rare.
What are the ties?
They have the Chargers game and Seattle.
So we tip our hats to Vegas for making the odds.
Yep.
To have ties, that means that Vegas, I think, made a lot of money on those vigs. So two ties last week. So I tied with... Who also tied with me?
Basically, Colin right now is 29-17-2, and then you and Spencer are 28-18-2.
So Colin's a horse. You know, Colin's a horse. He starts out and he's kicking, like, he got through the first part. Now he's running right for that finish line. So Colin is winning there.
He's a Belmont guy.
He's a Belmont guy on a very fast track, I must tell you. So let's tee up the games. Okay. We're gonna run right. Straight through to 24 after the hour, which gives us exactly 11 minutes. So we're all going to modulate our time.
Here we go. We got Green.
Spencer's going to obviously be on, as we say in the blackjack world, he's on first base.
Okay. All right. So Green, well, Thanksgiving, how can you not go Green Bay at Detroit? Detroit giving up 7.5 points. They are 8-2 playing Green Bay, who's looked good of late. Spencer.
Yeah, a little bit of a tough game to pick, but that Detroit defense, I mean, they couldn't get a stop against the Chargers, and the Bears kind of had that game. The Bears were up 12, and they kind of let Detroit off the hook. Detroit looking a little bit like the Vikings last year. They're worse than the record indicates. They're going to win this game, but I just like the Packers offense. You're going to get a late cover. That's too many points. Take the Packers.
So I was just logging on. Sorry for that delay for those of you in Jacob Sports Media Land. I inadvertently was trying to turn the camera around, but being the technocrat that I am, I actually turned off the stream. So many of you are now watching a live stream, which is going to just incorporate our fearless picks, which maybe not a terrible idea. You know what they say, necessity is the mother of invention, and serendipity is a great thing. So in this game, it is, of course, a Thanksgiving bowl game. It's Lions against
Green Bay.
Green Bay. The game is
in Detroit.
In Detroit.
And Detroit's given up 7.5 points.
Giving it 7.5 points. So I believe that every dog has its day. I think the Lions are the worst 6-2 team that there is. And I think that Green Bay and Jordan Love, they're on the uptick. And I believe that using the NFL pendulum theory, I'm going to take Green Bay in this game.
I think this is probably the largest point spread the Lions have had in maybe over two decades since Barry Sanders. And I'm going to go with Green Bay again.
Dr. Lewis?
Again, you know, I'm this is the largest point spread, and I do believe in this 8-2 Lions team, and they're getting better and better and getting more and more confidence each week. And I think they're going to give their fans, for once, a very nice Thanksgiving, and this is going to be a blowout, Detroit.
Colin?
I like Detroit to win the game, but not laying those points. I'll take Green Bay to cover.
Charlie?
I want this to be remembered next week. Green Bay wins the game outright.
Whoa.
All righty, I like that. I like whenever I could be on the side of Charlie. Josh?
So the next game, obviously you start off with the turkey, and then you get dessert with San Francisco at Seattle for an 8 o'clock game on Thanksgiving Day. San Francisco coming off a nice win. Seems like every time Christian McCaffrey scores. Brock Purdy's coming into his own. Spencer, where are we going?
Man, you talked about dessert, but I don't know if the Seattle Seahawks are going to give any dessert. I think that this could be an ugly, low-scoring game. How many points is San Francisco?
6.5.
Okay, good. I like the Niners, especially with the touch. I think the Niners should win this game by like 14. They are balling right now, the Niners.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are some health issues on the Seattle side with Geno Smith, and he's battling through injury, much like Jalen Hurts is. And I think that San Fran is going to keep their nose in the fight. They really need – it's kind of a must-win for them if they want to have a chance of securing home field. So I'm going to take the Niners in this game for those reasons.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker is injured. He's out of the game, the running back from Seattle. So I'm going with San Fran.
San Fran's going to knock the socks off of them. San Fran.
Colin?
I'm afraid Seattle's going to slip a little bit here down the stretch. I like San Fran to cover.
Charlie?
I feel like we're all about to be punked because Geno Smith may not even play. Walker's oblique. He's out. How is this line only 6.5? What are we missing? Drew Lock is terrible. He's not even an NFL quarterback.
I know one person here is part of the Drew Lock fan club is actually wearing a Drew Lock shirt under his Tennessee jersey. Go ahead.
I mean, Charlie, other than it's in Seattle and it's at night, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be a crazy crowd.
I'd love to go, I'm missing something, Seattle, but we're not. I mean, San Francisco is a better team, and if Geno Smith isn't playing, I can't believe there's a line on this game. It should be off the board right now, but somebody knows something.
All right, so
what's your pick?
I took San Fran. I can't go with that. I can't ride that line as much as I want to. I can't.
Good.
So I believe it's like the first ever Friday game.
Did you do Dallas or
Black Friday or Friday?
Dallas, Washington.
Black Friday game.
We can do that one. Okay, so of course we'll do another traditional Thanksgiving Day game. We're going Washington at Dallas.
Thanksgiving feast.
Dallas has given up 11 points, Spencer.
I love that the Cowboys are—they're really America's team. They're always in this spot. It's just familiarity. It's lovely 4 o'clock in Jerry World. But I really think that the New York Giants, by the way, have swept the Washington Redskins in the year 2023. Tommy DeVito looked like a better quarterback than Sam Howell, and this is the same Sam Howell that threw for 500 yards against the Eagles, but that's the NFL. Washington is done. Riverboat Ron has only had 3 winning seasons in 10 years. He's one of the most overrated head coaches of all time. Dallas is going to win this game by 25.
Yeah, I hate to be a me too, so to speak, but I'm going to say that I think Washington was terrible. They made the Giants look great. I mean, I watched that whole game, and the Giants just look great. So I'm taking Dallas in this game.
I think Sam Howell's going to actually play pretty well, and he's going to keep it close. They're not going to win, but I think he's going to keep it under 11.
Sam Howell's not going to keep it close. Eric, the enemy is going to wish he stayed in Kansas City. Washington is going to get pounded. Take Dallas.
That's a big spread to throw out there in a division game. I like Washington to cover.
Charlie.
Washington coming off one of the most pathetic performances last week. I'm not much of a teaser guy, but looking at the last games, Dallas, Miami, San Fran, three-team teaser. All they got to do is win the game, each of them. I love that. But, again, I agree. Coming off, the way the NFC East is back and forth, terrible performance by the Giants. They come back and win outright. I think Washington finds a way to cover.
Okay.
Sorry, that's just because we have the external speaker here. So, sorry, we're in order to hear Charlie, we got to turn him up and that's good. It's not him, though. It's the external speaker because we're back old school again. So, let's go.
So, Miami, a rare Friday game in the NFL. I think one of the few ever. Miami travels up to New York. Miami's been on fire. The Jets look like their defense is great. Garrett Wilson's falling apart. Who knows who's starting? I think it's we have a
Timothy Boyle.
Taylor Boyle. So Miami at minus 10. Spencer.
Good. I like that this is a high number. I think that this is a really – I think that we now have to talk about the counterintuitive of the NFL, that Jets defense, a little revolt against Zach Wilson. The Jets defense is going to play well enough that this is actually going to be an ugly game and they'll get to Tua. I can't pull the trigger and say the Jets are going to win outright, but I like the Jets with the points.
Yeah, I like I think this guy Boyle is going to do an old Tommy DeVito impression, which means much like Danny DeVito, I wouldn't bet on him. I'm taking the Dolphins in this game.
Yeah, the Dolphins just have too much firepower. Tyreek Hill hopefully continues to stay hot. Miami.
I agree with the you guys here. Miami's just going to absolutely blow the doors off New York here on Black Friday.
Colin?
I think Miami has got enough firepower to do it. Take the Dolphins to cover.
Charlie?
This is one of those rare games that Miami could lose the turnover ratio by two or three with two of picks and still cover, and I think they do. How are the Jets going to score?
Josh?
Okay, I went with Miami. So the next game we have, great AFC matchup. Young up-and-coming quarterback and C.J. Stroud. People have talked about the MVP like. And Jacksonville and Dougie P traveling to Houston. Only giving up 2 points. Spencer, where are we going?
So the Jags are favored.
Jags are favored.
Classic wrong team favored. I love Houston. C.J. Stroud. I mean, the Jags don't play well on the road. I'm loving the Houston Texans in this game.
This will be my lock of the week, too. Stroud has just played great, and I'm not a Jags fan. I never really – I'm not a believer. I'm not even saying a fan. I'm not a believer. I'm taking Houston.
I got to go with Jacksonville. They played really well last week. They're up and down, but I think they win this one.
I'm a huge Jacksonville fan. I love Trevor. I love Dougie P. That being said, D'Amico Ryan's baby. I mean, this is the turnaround story. I mean, he's just doing a great job. CJ is – I loved him in Ohio State. I knew he was going to be a great pro. Take Houston and take those points and take the win.
Colin.
I like what Houston's got going also. I think they can beat Jacksonville this week. That might be a good one to take outright also.
Charlie.
I agree. I think Houston wins. I think Houston wins outright.
All right, in the final game, the game that is beloved to our hearts, Buffalo and that top five quarterback, who leads interceptions, giving up 3.5 points at Philadelphia, Spencer.
I think that the Bills, like on a Super Bowl future bet, like I really think the Bills are exciting at plus 2,200. We could bookmark this. I think that this is the beginning of the Buffalo rise. This is a trap game. The Eagles get trapped all the time. They got trapped in Washington. The Washington game with Sam Howell, the ultimate trap game before that Dallas game. Dak Prescott tore up this defense. It's right before the Niners game. You only have 6 days, and Kansas City bloodied the Eagles. The Bills are going to win this game by 10 points.
Okay. Been thinking about this game a lot. I think the Eagles showed a lot of warts in that game against Kansas City, and I think that Buffalo needs the game more than the Eagles do. Even though I don't expect a letdown per se, I see that the Eagles will make enough mistakes. Jalen Hurts is still not right. And I'm going to take Buffalo in this game.
Philadelphia's 9-1 for a reason. They find ways to win. I'll take Philadelphia.
you know, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions from Josh Allen. Buffalo's going into a bye week next week. It's as much of a trap for them, too. If a team's going into a bye week, you know, they're already starting a vacation. They need the game, but the Eagles need the game. What are you talking about? The Eagles are at home. They're bloodied up in Kansas City. They came back. They got San Fran next week. The Eagles will win this game. Good teams find a way to win. Eagles win and cover.
Colin.
I absolutely hate this spread. I thought it was going to be way higher going into the game. I can't bring myself to pick against the Eagles, so I'll go Buffalo cover, but Eagles still hang on and win.
Charlie, you are the anchor man on this team. What do you see?
Spence, you can get Buffalo at 28-1 right now to win the Super Bowl. I agree. I think Buffalo wins this game. I think, again, not only needing it, I think Philly comes off with an emotional win Monday night, comes home, Buffalo, that extra day means something. I think Buffalo wins.
I want to thank everybody for logging into Rover Sports. It was a great night. Thanks to Jacob Media. And as always, good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish.
I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain. You don't understand how you can finish.
I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manning Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to TakeAHealthyStand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manning Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their